Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperson would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Welcome to the family of God again. Today I would like to share about a lifestyle of soul winning. I believe that you have had a great experience with believing and following Christ in the past months or weeks that you learned that God loved you so much, and I believe that God will continue to reveal Himself to you. I would like to encourage you to really study the Bible and get to know the Word of God and get to know God personally. And this lesson, we will talk about soul winning. God wants you to be soul winners. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be with me and with everyone who listen to this teaching, Father. Lord, please speak to our heart. Please show us your heart, your heart desire, your plan, your purpose for our life. Please train us, Lord. Please change us day by day to become more like your Son. Help us, Lord, and empower us to be good witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to win souls, Father, into the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. I believe that you have heard the term evangelism. If you have never heard about it, I would like to explain to you. Evangelism means to go out, preach the gospel, and help the unsaved or non-believers to understand the gospel and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And evangelism is something that every believer should do or should participate. We all should set a goal to help the lost to come into the kingdom of God. And many times people are quite fearful when they hear the word evangelism, because they heard about evangelists, they talk about TV evangelists, they think that evangelism is a job of a professional preacher who preach in a TV or have a big crusade, have a big auditorium, big meeting in big auditorium. But this lesson gonna help you to know that you don't need to be a great evangelist to win soul or to go out and tell people about the love of Jesus Christ. Don't worry about being used by God to tell people about the love of Jesus. You may be concerned that people may not understand what you share to them verbally. You may be fearful that people will reject you. People may persecute you. People may not want to be your friend anymore. You may be afraid of being ridiculed or mocked at. But don't worry, God is on your side and He will help you to evangelize. And we need to look for opportunity to tell people about Jesus in the daily basis, because we don't know when people will leave this world. And if your friends, your loved ones, and even strangers never heard about Jesus, they will never go to heaven with you or to have an abundant life. So it's very important that we really reach out to the lost. God's heart is to save the lost. You know, and that's why God sent somebody to talk to you at one point of your life, invite you to go to the church or give you the Bible, or that person try to do something to help you to come to know Christ. And we thank God about this situation, these people who really give up their time, and if they try to make an effort to reach out to us. Now, evangelism is something that we all can do is that to share the good news of Jesus to all people. In fact, when I was a new believer, in the first few weeks, I evangelized right away. I did not know the Bible that much. The person that I evangelized to is my own younger sister. She was about 13 years younger than me. And when I accepted Jesus, I was so excited. I went home and told my sister that, oh, I become a Christian now, and I want you to really know Jesus too. But I don't know how to share with her that much. So I set up the time with my older Christian friends to have dinner together. And my friend would share the gospel with her and show Jesus movie. And thank God that night she accepted Christ. She went only one time and she accepted Christ. And she's still now serving God in the church in Bangkok. So I'm thankful that God can use a new believer like me at that time to tell my sister about Jesus. And again, I didn't know the Bible that much. But because I want to see people saved, it's a heart desire to see people come in to have relationship with God and to have such a wonderful experience and fulfillment and happiness and joy of knowing Jesus Christ, knowing that your sins are forgiven. You remember somebody took courage and time to share with you about Jesus Christ. And I know that you all come to know Jesus in a different way. Some of you may be reached out to by your friend at school. Some of you may have strangers come and talk to you about Jesus and invite you to go to church. We come to Jesus in a different way. But at least somebody loved us enough, were bold enough to open their mouths, took the risk to be rejected by us, and told us about the love of Jesus Christ. And we should do the same thing. We should feel privileged to be used by God, to be bold, and to tell people about the forgiveness of sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't you look in the Bible? In Romans chapter 10, verses 14 to 15. Romans chapter 10, 14 to 15. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The Bible is pretty clear here. How can you call the name of Jesus if you have never heard of his name? And how can you believe in his name and in his power if you have never heard? And how can you hear without someone telling you or preaching to you the good news? So God tried to tell us that somebody that loves God enough will be sent by God, will be willing to go out of your own comfort zone, to give up your comfortable time of your life, to open your home, to drive to somewhere, or to fly to somewhere, and preach the good news and tell people about Jesus Christ so that people can hear. And when they see your life, that they, how much you change, the heart will be open and they can eventually believe in the name of Jesus. And they can call on his name and miracle will happen. Amen. If you look in the Bible carefully, read the Bible again and again, you can see that the whole Bible, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, the whole Bible, the message is about God loves sinners. Sinners have no hope without God. And God has set up the plan even before Adam and Eve got out from the Garden of Eden, before even the creation, to save mankind. He knew that man would sin against him. So the whole Bible is the textbook of redemption, talking about the plan of God for thousands of years, try to save man from sin. And I believe the desire and the heart of God for this purpose has not changed. He still wants to save the lost. He still wants to fulfill his plan to reach out to the lost world, to the lost people, and save them through the power of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should count as a privilege to be the hand, the feet, the mouth, the eyes of Jesus Christ to go and preach the gospel and tell people and invite people to come to know Jesus. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus taught about three parables. I don't have time to read, but you can go and study the Bible yourself. It's amazing that Jesus mentioned about three parables in one chapter. When he repeated the same message, the similar message, three times in a row, it means that this message is very important. He tried to emphasize it again and again and again to make sure that we really get it. We really understand his heart. The parable of lost sheep. A man lost one sheep. He was willing to leave the other 99 sheep behind and went after the one lost sheep. The parable of the lost coin, that lady was willing to do everything in that house to find the coin that she lost. So in other words, God is willing to go to do anything except sin, okay? To do anything to reach out to the lost and save the lost. Talking about the lost son, the prodigal son, go and read the book of Luke chapter 15, and you can see that the father of that lost son was so rejoicing to see the son coming back home. And in Luke chapter 15 verse 7, the Bible says like this, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons or people who thought that they are good person who need no repentance. So you can see that God, heaven, is rejoicing with somebody except Christ. Even one person, God just celebrate, and heaven just so happy that one person just accepted Christ. Amen. And God take this seriously. God really see the importance of salvation. So you need to understand that going out, preaching the gospel, saving the lost is the heartbeat of God. Because God loves mankind. God doesn't want anyone to perish. God loves every person. But it doesn't mean that every person can respond to God. But he loves every person. So what does it mean when we talk about having or establishing or developing a lifestyle of soul winning or a lifestyle of evangelism? What does it mean? I just want to explain to you. We need to cultivate that lifestyle until we do it on a regular basis. It's a decision. You know, if you really meet Jesus personally, you cannot keep your mouth shut. you want to tell people of your wonderful experience of His touch, of His love, of His power, of His forgiveness, of His abundant life that we receive from Him. People who have a lifestyle of evangelism will always have the joy, the excitement, the fulfillment in their heart, because you know why? We were created to share the gospel. We were created to tell people about Jesus. If you can tell people the lost about Jesus, you shall be excited all the time. You shall be fulfilled and happy. Your life will never get bored. You will feel so full inside that, oh, you know, today I can tell people about Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, we need to overcome the fear of intimidation. Is that right? How many times you feel that, oh, if I share the gospel, they may intimidate me. I'm just a young girl. I'm not a pastor or preacher. I cannot speak fluently or eloquently like somebody. You don't need to. God created you that way. So you just speak simply from your mouth and you just love people. People can discern and can feel your sincerity and your love for them. Amen. So don't be afraid. Don't let intimidation control you. But share Christ with boldness. You can use your life testimony. In fact, tomorrow I am flying to Bangkok, and I plan to preach the fire of God on Sunday service. But God told me, before I preach the fire of God, I should share my personal testimony and the gospel for 15 minutes before I even preach the gospel. Preach about the fire of God, so that at least I can give the opportunity to the non-believers the chance to accept Jesus Christ. And I have been sharing my personal testimony for the past 25 years. The story has not changed, still the same story, but our life testimony is powerful. People cannot deny it. Amen? And if you can do that, you're going to have a great sense of joy and fulfillment. Definitely, we cannot do all these things that I'm talking about without the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I have learned something about being a spokesman for God, speaking for God. On a daily basis, we prepare ourselves by reading the Bible, spending time with God, do the best in inclining our ears to hear the sermon, to hear the word, memorize the scripture, and listen to CD, do anything to have knowledge of God and the Bible, and to really get to know Him personally. But when you come to the point that you need to open your mouth and share the gospel, instead of trying to figure it out yourself what you're going to say, I'm trying to tell you the secret right now. Actually, I never shared like this before. This is the first time I share about this secret. Instead of trying to formulate or try to use your own intellectual ability to prepare what you're going to say, you just connect to the Holy Spirit inside your inner being here and just say, God, I'm not smart in my own eyes. I don't want to say something out of my own ability. I don't want to use my flesh, my intellectual ability to win this person. God, come. Holy Spirit, come and tell me what to say. And believe me, the Holy Spirit will guide you to speak what is appropriate for that time. You understand what I mean? This happened to me all the time. I find this secret. The more I try to do it myself, the less effective I am. And the more fleshly words come out from my mouth, the words full of pride and full of human things. But if I just yield, I decrease and let the Holy Spirit increase in me and just be available. Just be used of God and let God speak to my mouth. And that's the reason why our church loves revival. You may not know that when you come out to be prayed for, you see people get touched by God. People yield. You know, many times when I fell down, I didn't fall because God hit me. I fell just because I yielded. So I learned how to yield that time. And then God touched me later on the floor. God didn't touch me when I was standing up or when the hand lay on me. But I learned how to yield. So when I get out of the church wall and try to do the work of God, I learn how to yield at that moment to the Spirit. I need to keep being filled with the fire of God so that when I go out and testify for Jesus, I will have the anointing and the supernatural power and the word that the Holy Spirit wants me to say. I will be led by the fire of God. This happened to me every single day. God will give me words to say for the right situation, for that particular situation, to the person that he needs to hear what is in what will touch his heart. Amen. So be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Learn how to yield to the Holy Spirit. Put yourself in the place where God can work through you and use you. Be available. Amen. Be always ready. That's why when you're not in the evangelistic field, when you stay home, when you are in the car, prepare yourself by listening to all the teaching and, you know, soak yourself with the Word of God, with the things of God. Amen. And then what happened? The Spirit of God will flow through you. His love. His power. Your words that come out from your mouth will be powerful and will be full of grace and love and truth. I cannot emphasize enough the importance of the anointing or the presence of God. It's not by might nor by your own power, but by the Spirit of God that will make it work. Amen. You're just a vessel of God to let God flow to you. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 to 12, the Lord Jesus warned us or remind us that when we go out and preach the gospel or witness for Him, we may be persecuted. We may be rejected. We may be intimidated by somebody. The Bible says, blessed. I read from Amplified Bible. Blessed, happy, to be envied, and spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation. Regardless of your outward conditions, are you, when people revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely on my account, be glad and supremely joyful, For your reward in heaven is great, strong and intense. For in this same way, people persecuted the prophets who were before you. So, even sometimes you may be rejected by your friends or by people around you, you should rejoice and be glad, because your reward will be great, strong and intense in heaven. I make this decision and I make a deal with God a few years ago. I say, God, when I serve you and people reject me, anyway, I come on your behalf. I come in your name. I don't come in my own name. It's not my business. It's not my agenda. It's not to build my own kingdom or empire. I come on your behalf. I am your born servant. I am your slave. I am serving you. I try to help people to come to know you. It's not about me. It's about you. So, if people reject me, if people talk bad about me, they reject you and they talk bad about you. You mean God. I'm not gonna be upset. You understand what I'm talking about? When people reject you because you love them and you want to help them to come to know Jesus, and they talk bad about you, they're not talking bad about you. They're talking bad about God. God will receive that criticism and you can be free. You understand what I'm talking about? So you don't have to cry and feel pity to yourself and poor me. Oh, I witnessed that day that my friends just don't like me. No, they don't. It's not about you. They don't like God in you. Can you make that decision? That from now on, you don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. It's between them and God. It's not between them and you. You see what I mean? So, but one good thing said is that we will receive a great reward in heaven. Amen. And you may not know that one day this person may be saved 10 years from now. Your job is just to sow the seed of God, the seed of the word. He may yell at you, he may hate you. 5 years later, somebody may witness again and get the seed that you drop into that person's heart already grow in the next 5 years. You see what I mean? You just sow the seed and let the seed grow. God makes the seed grow. Maybe it's not his timing yet, but you are faithful in sowing the seed. Your work will not go in vain. It will have good result. I remember when I was about maybe 7-8 years old, I live in a central part of Bangkok, and I saw a family with maybe about 12 kids. That house has a lot of kids. They are, I think, they are a Christian of one organization. I don't remember. However, because they have so many kids, I love to go to that house and play with them. About 7-8 years old, very young. I was very young. I love to hang out in that house all the time. They are poorer than me. My dad is well-to-do at that time. He was financially okay compared to that house. But I love to go there. And I spend time there maybe until 10 p.m., 11 p.m., which is kind of late for kid. But you know what? I love this family so much. I love to hang out with these people. Some people younger than me, some people older, you know, because they are siblings. But I never forgot that. I still remember today. In the top of their house, they have a place that you can go up and sit and look at the sky. Because in Thailand, it's quite warm. So you can sit on the roof. It's kind of roof with the place you can sit and look at the sky and talk, you know, having good time. And I remember every night, many nights, every time I went there, many nights a week, these people will open the Bible and share with me the good news. And about Abraham, about Jacob. I couldn't understand that much because I was so young. I listened, and they even asked me to accept Jesus, and I'd say no. At that time, I was thinking in my heart that my dad would be mad at me. And then I moved out of that neighborhood when I think I turned 12 or 13 years old. But that seed was dropped into my heart. And I forgot all about it. I really forgot about Christianity. I forgot about the Bible. Many years down the road, when I graduated from Bible school, then somebody told me about the Bible again. And it's like the light was turned on again. Oh, I remember. I learned that when I was 7 years old with this family for 2 years. Almost every week, they would share the gospel with me. And I at that time, I was about 26, 27 years old already, 20 years later. When I heard the word the Bible and Jesus, I heard the voice of God speaking to me like this. Son, come back home. In other words, at that time, at 8 years old, 7 years old, really in my heart, I already believe what they share. But I did not dare, you know, I dare not open my mouth and accept Christ because I was afraid of being rejected by my dad. The seed that they sow into my life worked. So, you know, I want to encourage you that don't look at today. This is about eternity. You share the gospel with somebody. He or she may not accept Christ that day or that month. But who knows, 20 years later or 50 years later, you meet that person in heaven. And that person will come to you and say, you remember that day you shared the gospel? Amen. Don't be discouraged. Don't look at the current situation, but do it faithfully, loving people, giving to people, being nice to people, amen, smiling to people, everything that you can do to help people to see Jesus, and you just keep sowing the seed, amen. It's a great joy and privilege that we can have as a Christian to lead people to Jesus Christ. Amen. So, keep doing it. Do you notice that? I don't know, you get my email off and on from your care group leader. Did you get my email? I don't know how much this email. I know, I hope that, I'm sorry for people who listen to CD. I'm speaking to a group of people here right now. So, some people may kind of feel that my email message really bother them. Kind of, oh, another long email. But you know what? I am sowing the seed. I try to sow the seed of the Word of God and the truth into the membership of our church so that the more they read, the more they see the truth, their mind will be changed and their faith will grow. I may not see the fruit overnight, but I believe that 5 years down the road, I will see the city shaken. I will see all these young people who read my email again and again and again, one day grow up and go out and check a city, a town, their neighborhood. My job is keep sowing the seed. I cannot talk to everyone all the time, but at least I can email them. Amen. I can use CD to speak to them. So actually, I spend all this time to write email because I want to sow the seed of the Word of God. Because I love God's people so much, and I know that God wants to build them up. You understand? Maybe I should write that in the email next time to tell people my purpose. Okay. How can we develop a lifestyle of soul winning? To have a lifestyle of evangelism means that we get up in the morning and then we prepare ourselves to share the gospel, to show love to people. We ask God to lead us to somebody that day to hear the gospel. Everywhere we go, we are watching for opportunities, whether at work, at school, in a store, in the Starbucks, coffee shop, on the bus, or even on the plane, or on the phone with somebody, or even in the email, chit-chat. What do you call that? MSN, chit-chatting, you know, in the internet. There's so many places you can meet people, so many opportunities that God gives you, and the Holy Spirit will lead you when you talk to people, so that you can say, change the subject from the day-to-day subject that you talk, like homework, vacation, whatever, and you can change the subject into the gospel and spiritual subject. So you are looking for opportunity to share about Jesus with love and boldness by the help of the Holy Spirit. That is the lifestyle of evangelism. It's a daily thing. It's not only Sunday. Every single day you wake up and say, God, use me. Send me to somebody. Give me the word to say. Open the door. Give me the right timing. Give me divine appointment to meet somebody at the right time. I heard a testimony from Thailand that a young believer, he is only 6 months old Christian. He has to go out of Bangkok to do some business. And then God told him, he usually doesn't go to a pub, P-U-B, mean, you know, kind of coffee shop or nightclub or something that usually you don't go. But God told him to go. So he did. He obeyed God. When he walked into that place, he began to laugh in the Holy Spirit. So a musician came to him and asked him, why are you laughing? He couldn't answer. He was drunk in the Holy Ghost, not with alcohol. He didn't drink. So he laughed again. So the musician in that pub wondered, why are you laughing? And then God gave him the word to say like this. This is a true story. Just happened lately. He said, somebody loves you. And that musician said, who is that? I mean, that guy think like, what is going on here? This guy keep laughing and say, somebody loved you. And you know, this man is not a young man. He is about, I don't know, 35, 30 something years old. So kind of weird that this man come into the pub and laugh like that. And when that man, that musician asked, who is that person that loved me? He answered, Jesus. And you know what happened? The musician broke out in tears and cried and said, I used to believe in Jesus, but I walk away. And I think God sent you to call me back. And they start to pray together in that pub. You see, this is a powerful story that the man was led by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we need to get drunk in the Holy Spirit enough to be bold, and we will not be afraid of criticism. Now I understand why God to have to send His fire into the church, so that we will be burned with the fire of God. We will be so full, so filled, so marinated, so controlled by the Spirit that we forget about ourselves. We get drunk in the Holy Ghost, and we can be bold to share the gospel in love. Not out of duty, not religiously, not legalistically, but we share with love. We need to be prepared. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Wow! We are commanded to preach the gospel in season, which means that at the favorable time. We also are commanded to preach the gospel out of season, which means a time when things are not favorable, when in your inconvenient time. I preached the gospel to my mom, I think about 7 years ago, before she passed away, at 3 a.m. in the morning. I woke her up. I flew to Thailand, got out from the airport. One of my friends picked me up. I say, I'm not going to go home. I'm going to go to the hospital. My mom is in the hospital right now. And that was about 1 a.m. I arrived at the hospital around 2, because it's a long way. It's in another city. And then I knocked the door of the hospital at 2 a.m. I waited for a long time until the nurse woke up and come to open the door for me. And I asked for my mom. I walked in. She woke up, and I began to tell her, I just say, Jesus loves you. You need to get saved. You need Jesus. She said, I don't know about Jesus. I say, I can pray for you. She closed her eyes. I lay my hand on her. And Jesus came down into the room and showed himself. She saw Jesus. She accepted him, and she was saved. And later on, she was filled with the Holy Spirit. It's out of season. It's not in the season. I did not have the Bible with me. I did not preach to her long preaching. I just told her, you need Jesus. You need to be saved. You need to go to heaven with me. It's the right timing, but it's inconvenient for me and for her. You see what I mean? So, in season and out of season. Sometime you may not be even welcome to tell them about Jesus. But you need to say something, because the Holy Spirit prompts you to say it. Amen. We are to convince people that Jesus is real. We are to persuade. The Bible says rebuke and exhort mean that sometimes we need to rebuke mean to express strong disapproval and warn and give warning against sins and talk about God's judgment. Sometimes we need to tell people, get out from this sin, please. Get right with God. Come back to God. Sometimes you have to rebuke people. Sometimes you need to correct people. And sometimes you exhort people, oh friend, your life is miserable. Why don't you give your life to Jesus? Jesus is the answer. He can help you. Maybe no one else in the world can help you right now, but I want to exhort you. He is your helper. He is the answer to your life. Amen. Yesterday in the care group, somebody asked us, the whole care group, to pray for her sister who has mental illness. And I share that the answer to anybody in the world, including this lady, is to know Jesus and come into the presence of God. Medication, psychiatrists are not the answer. The answer is the presence of Jesus Christ in their life. Amen. So we need to exhort, we need to rebuke. Amen. Our God is not the God of condemnation. He's a God of grace. He's the God of peace. He's the God of love and mercy. Therefore, when you go out to preach the gospel or try to win souls, you need to really, truly represent Him. Today, my secretary asked me, "Why are you smiling all the time? Why are you happy all the time?" They noticed that I'm a happy man. I'm always cheerful, happy, talk positive. You see what I mean? But they know I'm a Christian. Everyone know I'm a pastor. So they can see the difference in me and other workers in the office, other physicians in the office. Why? Because I want to represent God there. In order to testify about Jesus, your personality, your lifestyle have to match with the gospel. The gospel is the gospel of love, power, and joy, and peace, and long-suffering. So you need to show that to people. Amen. You notice that Jesus Christ did not go around and condemn Zacchaeus, tax collector. He did not go around and condemn prostitutes. What did he do? He went and talked to them and spent time with them and show love to them and win them with love. Is that right? He didn't go around to condemn people. Actually, he spent the majority of his time with sinners. He didn't spend time a lot with religious people, with the Pharisees and Sadducees. But again, even though he spent time with sinners, he did not compromise with sin. He did not sin. He didn't join them to drink and to play gambles and to do bad things with them. He stand firm in the righteousness of God, the standard, the holiness of God. Amen. So please be a good ambassador for God. Please represent Jesus in a correct way. And to reach out to the sinner, we need to build that bridge, relationship. Do you know that Christianity is about relationship? Your relationship with God, your relationship with brother and sister in the church, and your relationship with sinners to save, to pull them, to draw them into the kingdom of God without compromising in the area of any sin. Amen. And after you share the gospel and the listeners seem to be open, then you boldly, lovingly encourage them to accept Jesus. And I want to encourage you, if they say no, be loving. Don't react. Don't get mad. Don't reject them. Don't say, you are unworthy for me to talk to you again, something like that. Have long-suffering love. Have patience with people. In fact, to my understanding and observation, it's easier for us to deal with people who are sinners but don't understand about God than religious people. You know, understand what I mean? Religious people who are so judgmental against people, very legalistic, very self-righteous. They think they're better than non-Christian. They're the best people in the world. These are religious. But actually, non-believers are easier to reach out to religious people. Jesus could win only one Pharisee, Nicodemus. Can you imagine? So most religious people in his time rejected the anointing of God in him. Amen. Sometimes it may take years for people to accept Christ. It took my mom, 15 years before she accepted Christ. I told her about Jesus again and again, but she did not accept. It took my dad 2 years to accept Christ. It took me 20 years from 7 years old. Can you imagine? But don't give up on them. Continue to love them. Continue to pray for them. And again, I want to emphasize that our job is to sow the seed of the gospel, water it with love and prayer, but the Lord God is the one who make it grow. Let's say with me, my job is to plant the seed of the gospel, and I water it with the love of God and praying for people. And my God is the one who will make it grow. In the Bible, you can see from the book of Acts that throughout the book of Acts, the early church Christians evangelized as a lifestyle all the time. They went to city to city to city and preached the gospel. They tried to spread the gospel to the whole entire world. Oh, I want that spirit to come back to all of us. I want that lifestyle to come back to 21st century church. Amen. I want to see that happen in America here, in Japan. Amen. In Korea, in every country that Christians just so on fire to go and evangelize all the time to tell people about Jesus. Not legalistically, not religiously, not self-righteously, but with love and humility and understanding and kindness. Amen? I'm not talking about go and bang on people's head and try to condemn them and tell them that they are bad sinners. No, I'm not. I don't mean that way. We need to do everything out of humility and love. In the book of Acts, you remember in Acts chapter 2, when Peter and all the 120, altogether 120 disciples were filled with the fire of God, with the Holy Spirit. Right after that, what they did? Peter stood up and preached the gospel under the anointing. Actually, if you read the Bible carefully, when Peter was preaching, his message was so simple, not very sophisticated or something tickle people's ear. Like, listen and you feel like, oh, it's fun. It's so simple. I read to you. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourself know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. It's a simple message. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Is it a very interesting message? No. I think if Peter came and preached in America, a lot of churches may reject him. I'm talking about the content of the message, not very sophisticated. Principle 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 6, 7 step how to be rich. He didn't talk about 7 step how to be rich. He just say, you kill Jesus and Jesus raised from the dead. That's it. And then what happened? When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostle, brother, what shall we do? What happened? They repented. They really wanted the gospel. You know what God spoke to me when I read this scripture? I was so amazed for a long time how this so boring, sound like a boring message to me. Just stand up and say that your guy killed Jesus. Nowadays, most preachers will try to make very, very exciting sermon. You listen and, oh, so good. Use the very, I'm not against those things, you know, don't take me wrong. Where people try to improve their preaching. And God spoke to me one day, son, it's about the anointing. Peter was so full of the Holy Ghost that day. He just was touched by the fire of God. I want to encourage you to be filled with the fire of God. And go out, and you may not have to say a lot. Maybe just say like that gentleman in Bangkok. Somebody loved you. And his name is Jesus. That's all. If God leads you to say that way. Amen. It's not by my might, nor by my power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. Amen. We need to really share the gospel. In the second CD of this series, I would like to share with you the content of the gospel. What is the meat, the content of the gospel? So that you will preach the right gospel. Many times as Christians, we don't preach the gospel. We preach our church. Oh, come to my church. My church is good. We have a lot of fun. I mean, nothing wrong to invite people to church, but don't stop at the church. Some people say, oh, come to, just emphasize the church name. We should not emphasize the church name. We should preach Jesus. I mean, the church name is just a title of a group of people. But the main name that we should preach is the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't preach church activities. Amen. Preach Jesus. Preach the gospel. Amen. He did not commission only preacher to preach the gospel. He commissioned every Christian to preach the gospel and to share the gospel with other people. In Acts chapter 2, Peter started to talk about Jesus, who he was, where he came from, and what he did. And he explained that Jesus was crucified, died, buried, and was raised from the dead on the third day. And then suddenly he just urged people to repent and turn away from their sin and receive the forgiveness of sin. That's it. So you can see that Peter preached the gospel as our model. And this is the model. Jesus, who came from God, died, buried, and raised from the dead. And he is the answer for mankind. He gives you forgiveness of God and the eternal life. Amen. You know, when you talk about God, 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 you may have to be careful. Because there are so many gods in the world. That's why we have to be specific that we are talking about Jesus, not just about gods, any God. If you talk to people of other faith, they will talk about God too. But it may not be the same God as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. So that's why our conversation should be focused on Jesus Christ. Amen. The man, our mediator, that link between us and the Father. I think I will continue next time in the second CD of this lesson. This is the first CD, and I hope that what I share today from my heart will inspire you by the anointing of the Holy Spirit to develop and cultivate the lifestyle of soul winning. But in case you who listen to this CD are not a Christian yet, somebody may give you this CD, either by accident, or maybe you pick it up from somewhere, and you listen to it. If you have not known Jesus Christ as a personal God and Savior, I would like to invite you to receive His love and His forgiveness. We are all sinners. We all make mistakes. We all blew it in our life. And we cannot get to heaven by our own goodness. We need to receive forgiveness, and to our sin need to be wiped out by the blood of Jesus. I want to encourage you to pray with me and accept Jesus Christ into your heart. Why don't you pray with me right now? Father in heaven, I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sin. I desire to turn away from my sin and to follow you. Lord Jesus, you're the Son of the living God. 2,000 years ago, you died on the cross to pay for my sin. You love me so much, and I invite you, Lord Jesus, to sit on the throne of my heart and give me a new life. Today, I am born again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Welcome to the big family of God. There are millions of Christians all over the world, and you're one of them if you just pray to accept Christ. For those of you who are new believers, I just want to encourage you to set the goal to continue to grow spiritually, to continue to progress in your spiritual life, to continue to know more about God, learn more, practice what you learn, go to church on a regular basis, serve the Lord, and make a decision now that no matter what happened, no matter how many other people make mistake and cause you to stumble or cause you to be discouraged, you make a decision, I will never walk away from Jesus. It's not about other people. It's not about what other people do. It's about my own decision. I'm going to follow Jesus to the last day of my life, and I will serve Him until He comes back. I want to encourage you not to let the circumstances and the weaknesses and mistakes of people around you, including your pastor, including me, to stop you from serving Jesus. Because everyone is not perfect. They will make mistakes one of these days. Amen. And that's why we need Jesus. And we need to grow more. So thank you very much for spending time with me listening to this CD teaching. And I pray that you will have more hunger for the Word and thirsty for the Spirit of God. Join a good local church. Be a part of the church. Be a member of the local church. Plug in and serve the Lord there. Commit yourself. Contribute your time, your energy to serve the Lord. And God will bless you. God has great things in store for you. God has a best plan for your life. And He wants to pour out His blessing upon you. What you need to do is to position yourself and obey God and be blessed, and then become the blessing to other people and the nations. May God bless your nation. If you come from any nation that you listen to this CD, maybe you come from Philippines or Burma or Korea or any nation, may God bless your nation, that many, many will come to know God. May God bless America too, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. See you next time. God bless you.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.